it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to it here on a Monday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi and Bebfe. This is You Better You Bet. Like I just mentioned, 15 minutes from now, or rather 18 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on yesterday's Eagles victory over the Kansas City Chiefs, as well as the plethora of quarterback injuries that we have across the National Football League. Joe Burrow out for 3 months with a toe injury. JJ McCarthy expected to miss the next 2 to 4 weeks, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, with a high ankle sprain. And now you have this Jaden Daniels injury in our nation's capital, where he's dealing with a knee sprain that he suffered against the Green Bay Packers last Thursday night. His status is uncertain for Sunday's game against the Las Vegas Raiders. So a lot to unpack, a lot to get to, and we're going to try our damnedest here on these next 4 hours to do it so you guys can get everything you need to know coming off of the weekend that was in the National Football League. But we're going to put the weekend that was off to the side here briefly, but I do want to set the table right now for tonight's Monday Night Football doubleheader. Because while it feels like at this moment we're drinking out of the fire hose and it feels like there's so much going on, we still have two more games tonight, baby. A game at 7 o'clock Eastern and a game at 10 o'clock Eastern. The first one, though, in Houston between the Buccaneers and the Texans. Right now over at BetMGM, Houston a 2.5-point favorite. That total sitting at 42.5. And from an injury standpoint, there's actually a lot with this game. Chris Godwin, he's been ruled out. Tristan Wirfs also ruled out for Tampa Bay. Those guys are not expected back for at least another couple of weeks. But for Tampa on the offensive line, their other offensive tackle, Luke Gadecki or Gadecki, I don't know which, I hear it pronounced both ways. We need like the Bijan Robinson thing from last night for our guy Luke tonight, which that also was maybe on another time, but with more time we can talk about Bijan Robinson and the whole Bijan versus Bijan thing. But Luke Gadecki, what we'll call him right now, he is listed as questionable, was limited in practice on Saturday after being DNP Thursday and Friday. That's going to be one that's a game time decision. I'm sure we'll find out a little bit later on during the 5 o'clock hour with the actives and inactives. On the Houston side, Braxton Berrios and Christian Kirk, both of their wide receivers, they're out with hamstring injuries, as is their center, Jake Andrews, who injured his ankle in the loss to the Rams on Sunday. He is also out for tonight's game. As for what everyone's betting with tonight's game, 60% of the bets, 67% of the handle is on Tampa plus the 2.5. 60% of the bets on over 42.5, but 60% of the handle is on under 42.5. I'd actually kind of lean to the under, just given the fact that all the injuries at wide receiver and on the offensive line with both of these teams, I think it's a lower scoring game. As for the money line, 80% of the bets and 78% of the handle is on the Buccaneers plus 120. So the betting public liking Tampa in tonight's game. It's a small lean to the Bucs for me, but that's only at 3. Like at 3, I'd bet Tampa. At the current prices, I'm just going to pass the game. I have obviously Femi's Island. We'll have some first TD scorer bets with tonight's game. For the most popular anytime touchdown scorer bet, though, Mike Evans. Plus 150, Mr. 1,000 Yards, Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the anytime TD score. That's the most popular one over at BetMGM, where people try to make it legendary, as I've once heard a time or two. For tonight's game, though, in Las Vegas, the nightcap on the West Coast, you have the Chargers at the Raiders. Los Angeles, a 3.5-point favorite. This one's kind of been bouncing back between like 3.5 even money, 3.5 minus 105, and we're minus 105 right now over at BetMGM. The total is 46.5. If I had to guess where that total is going to go, it would be to the over, as this game is being played indoors, and we've all seen the Raiders' defense throughout the preseason, and even against the Patriots, where there were some opportunities to make some big plays. Patriots just didn't do it. You can see why folks might like the over with this one. From an injury standpoint, though, the big one tonight, of course, is Raiders tight end Brock Bowers. He is expected to play. Now, as I was telling Bill this morning, like Pete Carroll says he's expected to play. Pete Carroll said he looks great over the weekend. Pete Carroll also makes me look like negative Nancy. Like that is like the eternal optimist. That man, there's no more as positive Pete. All right. So you got to take it with a grain of salt with Pete Carroll when it comes to an injury standpoint. There could be a guy that just tore his ACL. Pete Carroll said maybe we get him back in a couple of weeks. Like, that's how he rolls with this injury news. So I'm pretty sure Brock Bowers will play. I don't know if he's going to look great. The brace that he has is pretty bulky, but I would expect him to be out there on the field. But I just wouldn't be going all systems go for Brock Bowers if I had him in like a DFS lineup or something like that, or with the prop betting, whatever. I think it's going to be kind of touch and go, as it already was when he was healthy, as they were playing Michael Mayer quite a bit in the game against the New England Patriots. On the Chargers side, linebacker Denzel Perryman has already been ruled out. He has now been placed on IR, so Perryman's going to miss at least the next month. For the Bolts, they'll be down also Elijah Molden on the back end in the secondary, dealing with a hamstring injury. And then Delshon Phillips at linebacker usually wouldn't be notable. He's listed as questionable, but he is the replacement for Denzel Perryman. So just kind of keep that in mind for that Chargers defense. As for what everyone's betting, 62% of the bets and 60% of the handles on the Chargers laying the 3.5. 65% of the bets, 80% of the handle is on over 46.5. And then you have 54% of the bets and 67% of the handle on Chargers money line. So Chargers in the over. That's what people like in tonight's game. You guys know where I sit with tonight's game. I like the Raiders plus 3.5. I also like the Raiders on the money line at plus 155. I think the Raiders pull off the upset tonight here in Las Vegas. But let's go ahead and get back to Sunday's game with our NFL week 2 quick hits to wrap up the hour here on a Monday. On You Better You Bet. And we have to start with what happened in the Motor City. The Detroit Lions destroying the Chicago Bears 52-21. How about that one with your old buddy Ben Johnson in town? Here's a 50 piece. As everyone was wondering, hey, can the Lions function without Ben Johnson? Jared Goff only wins with Ben Johnson and Sean McVay. Well, I guess now we've got to add John Morton to the list, right? 52 points for the Detroit Lions against this Bears defense. Unfortunate news for Chicago's defense, and this one's going to be a biggie the rest of the way. Their Pro Bowl cornerback, Jalen Johnson, dealing with a groin injury, suffered it in the game yesterday after coming back after missing the opener. He is now expected to need surgery and reportedly miss the rest of the season. So this Bears defense that's already been struggling is now going to be without their best cornerback for the foreseeable future, for the rest of the season, mind you, the remaining 15 games for the Chicago Bears. So that's a bummer for Chicago, and also explains why the Bears game against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday has been getting bet to the over, as if folks cannot get enough. Like, this bad boy is already up to like 50.5 at some places, and it might keep climbing throughout the course of the week here with the injury report, but that's a bummer for Chicago. So that's a big loss for them.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For Detroit, I think they're fine. I think their week one game was more about Green Bay. Like, it just shows how good Green Bay is. Like, they're going to be A-okay. They're going to make the playoffs. Like, we talked about it last week on the show. Adjusted win totals over 9.5 was plus 120. This is a 10-win team. There's too many good players for the Detroit Lions. As for the Chicago Bears, they're glad that game was in that 1 o'clock Eastern window and not on primetime, because boy, we'd be talking more about Caleb Williams and what that offense looks like with Ben Johnson and that defense being horrendous. Like, for Chicago, man, it looked brutal. Let's see if maybe this weekend with the old slump busters, the get rights, the Dallas Cowboys defense coming into town, maybe Caleb Williams gonna have a breakout game in America's Game of the Week with a lot of folks watching. But boy, it looked pretty bad again against the Detroit Lions. Let's get over to Indianapolis, though. A really, really entertaining game in the late window. We thought the best game was going to be Chiefs-Eagles. No, it was actually the one that was taking place between the Broncos and the Colts. Indianapolis wins it 29-28 as Shane Steichen and Indiana Jones and the rest of the Colts are now 2-0. And I must give them credit. Like, I'll put my hand up and say, like, at this point at least, I have been wrong about the Daniel Jones experience with Indianapolis. I was way out on this team all throughout this offseason, and it's just 2 weeks. I mean, we all remember last year, the Saints were 2-0, and then they fell off a cliff. Like, we don't want to overreact to, like, the first month of the season. As most NFL experts will tell you, it's pretty much an extended preseason, but Indianapolis looks really good, especially on offense, where they became the first team in the Super Bowl era to not punt in their first two games. That's how good the Colts have been. And yesterday, against the Denver Broncos defense that you talk to anybody who covers football, anyone who looked at it, oh man, the Broncos defense going to be elite. They were the best defense in the league last year. Look at what they can do. They're going to be this awesome defense. Yeah, they got barbecue chicken. It was lit on fire. 473 yards, 7 yards per play by Indianapolis. Like, what happened to the vaunted Broncos defense? I don't know. But the Colts, full credit to them as they get the job done. And like, very, very insane game management from Shane Steichen at the end. He got bailed out with the leverage penalty, but to settle for a 60-yard field goal, like, that is atrocious. I don't know what that man was thinking. Luckily, they got bailed out and they get the shorter field goal. They're able to make it and walk it off and win the game. But the Colts, better sometimes to be lucky than good, as they were a little bit fortunate at the end there with the win over the Denver Broncos. The Seattle Seahawks, they looked impressive against the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday afternoon. And as someone who bet Pittsburgh, and this is like one of those frustrating games, oh, you lay 2.5 and the game closes 4 in some places. You got to feel good, don't you? And then you start watching the game and you realize, uh-oh, I might be on the wrong side. Clint Kubiak, I thought his offense was good, and I've been very critical of Clint Kubiak. I'm not a fan, but in this game, he was really, really strong. And maybe this says a lot about this Pittsburgh defense that through 2 weeks, they look old. TJ Watt doesn't look like how he usually does. Cam Hayward doesn't look like how he does. Jalen Ramsey's getting beat deep. Like, they look really, really old. And you start to wonder, maybe they're just a little bit long in the tooth. And if this defense is not going to be what we all expected it to be, I don't know if the Steelers can go over 500 like they've done in every other Mike Tomlin season. But last thing with that game for me, I mean, what was Caleb Johnson thinking? Do we not know the rules? What's happening with that? It's 17-14. Steelers about to get the football back. Okay, maybe they can, you know, have a drive and go down the field and let's take the lead again, or at least tie the game. This man, lets the ball go by him as if it's not bro. There's a reason why onside kicks get recovered. This was a long side kick, I guess we should call it. You have to get the football. You can't just watch it trickle out the back of the end zone and then Seattle recovers. Just ridiculous. Would not expect a Mike Tomlin-led coach team to do stuff like that, but they did it nonetheless. The rest of the quick hitters, Rams over Titans, biggest bet regret for me was not betting the Rams. I ended up betting the under. The Rams by themselves were just taking care of business as they were expected to do. I wish I bet the Rams. When I watched that game, I was like, damn, I really should have bet Los Angeles. That was the big bet regret for me. Patriots beating the Dolphins 33-27. It's over in Miami. And I'm honestly wondering if they get blown out on Thursday night, does Mike McDaniel survive the short bye week? That's a legitimate concern for me. It's so over for that team. Shout out to New England getting it done. Niners over the Saints. Return of the Mac, right? Mac Jones, baby. Here he is, balling out. Third and Juwan, we're getting it done. That buys Brock Purdy some time with the toe injury, which is a big win for San Francisco. Buffalo over the Jets. I mean, the Bills' defense looked locked in, and also gangrene, it looked to be a year away with Justin Fields now in the concussion protocol. And then finally, Ravens over the Browns. I didn't think Baltimore's offense was that impressive, but they didn't need to be. And Cleveland, you're on the clock. On the clock in 5 minutes, our guy Nick Costos, who gives us his thoughts on all the happenings from the NFL on Sunday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.